And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the beautiful Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. And it is beautiful out there right now. It's getting pretty hot, but boy, we got blue sky, we got sunshine, a few puffy white clouds. It's nice, yeah. Heading into late August now. This is August 20th already. And we are a little less than 2 weeks away from Labor Day. Summer is on the wane, huh? So you want to savor days like this. September, of course, usually has nice weather. In fact, many years, we have the nicest weather of the summer in September. It cools off a little bit. Still have a lot of sunshine, blue sky. So we have all that to look forward to. No reason to be too sad about the approaching tail end of August. Hey, we're going to be talking about your pets on the program today. Dr. Dennis Stateman is going to be joining us just a few minutes here for Ask the Veterinarian. So we have lots to look forward to there. I do want to give you a program note because we're going to be talking about the nuclear disaster at Chernobyl in the Soviet Union on Book Talk this coming Monday. We'll have guests from the Saxonburg Public Library, South Butler Library in Saxonburg. And they have chosen the book for discussion, Midnight in Chernobyl, the untold story of the world's greatest ever nuclear disaster. And this is not a novel, it's nonfiction. And it's pretty riveting stuff. I just started the book actually myself, so I'll be finishing it over the next few days. And we'll be interested to chat about it with folks from the South Butler Community Library on this coming Monday. Well, time for Ask the Veterinarian today. Dr. Dennis Stateman from Suburban Animal Clinic is with us. Dr. Stateman, it's always good to see you. Nice to have you here today.
I'm glad to be here, too.
Nice day out there, huh?
It's inside, it's great. Outside, it's not so good.
It's a little warm.
A little warm, yeah.
Yeah, and always a concern with our animals when we get this kind of a stretch of weather where it's really, really oppressive. You know, they're talking about upper 80s today, mm-hmm. Very humid. So if your pets are outside, be careful. Make sure they have plenty of water to start
water
with.
Water,
right?
And shade. Keep them out of a hot areas, hot, extremely hot. Even boxes where they have a dog box, mm-hmm. is hot in there. You want to try to keep them out during the daytime, and then they can go back in at night because it's cooler in there than at night. But it could be 15 degrees difference in their dog shed, sort of like. So,
do a lot of people still have outdoor dogs? When I was a kid, everybody in my neighborhood that had dogs, they were outdoor dogs. I mean, they had a dog house. Usually the dog was on a chain attached to a long uh-huh. cable or something, uh-huh. so they had plenty of room to move around. And they of course took them off the chain once in a while to play around in the yard. But they weren't all indoor dogs. It seems like a lot of people have indoor dogs now.
Well, mostly it's a little bit different situation now. We almost accept the animal as part of the family and things. But there's still occasionally you can drive around and see that there's dogs outside chained, and they have a dog box and things, so that it still goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But
hunting dogs generally, I would say, right,
these, mm-hmm.
in this day and age.
Mm-hmm. We have some of those. Exists around areas where there's a poverty, I guess, issue to a certain degree. And I don't want to say everybody that doesn't have a lot of money, because I have some clients that are excellent, take care of their pet, and they don't have much money. But sometimes you can go into those areas and you can see that the dogs are just sitting and panting and out in the sun and basically no shade. And there's a dog box there, but sometimes if you go into a shed, like just a normal shed that we keep our stuff in.
Sweltering in there.
Yep. Yeah. And so it can be that hot in a dog box, too.
So take care of your outdoor pets. I can remember when I was a kid, there were a lot of beagles in the neighborhood, a lot of hunting dogs who were generally kept outside.
Mm-hmm. You
know, just the way it was. Dr. Dennis Damon's practice is at Suburban Animal Clinic. It's on Route 8 South. It's about 5 miles south of Butler. And it's right at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. If you're headed south from Butler toward Pittsburgh, it would be on the left-hand side. Pretty much as soon as you pass all the auto dealerships there on Route 8 South. Are you still seeing a lot of ticks in your practice?
Sure.
on dogs, Doctor?
Yep. Not so much as we were the first part of the year,
mm-hmm.
These new preventatives and things have really kind of knocked that down somewhat. It's like very seldomly do I ever see now a scabies or a Demodex dog, which is a particular problem of dogs. And we used to see that maybe 10 years ago. Even, I'd say within the last 4 years, I've seen very, very few cases. And we used to see quite a lot of Demodex and sarcoptic mange.
The preventive measures, if you have a dog, you want to be worried about ticks, there are topicals, right, that you can put on your dog?
There's topicals. There's a nice flea and tick collar. That is really good. It lasts for 8 months. Most dogs can handle it, but as with any preparation, you always put a little bit on and test it a little bit for about a week and make sure your dog can tolerate it, and then put the rest on. I always try to have you check the collar the first 4 to 5 days and make sure there's no irritation or swelling noted in that area.
So if you have one of these collars, you apply the topical ointment to the collar itself?
No. This is just a regular old flea and tick collar.
Oh.
They're better made now, and especially the one Sentinel or Seresta is flea collar and tick collar. I have worn it on my dogs for the last 7 years, and I virtually do never see a flea on my dogs, and I've never seen ticks on them. And I do take them up to a forested area where there is quite a lot of ticks and things.
Works pretty good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Our phone number is 283-2525. If you have questions for Dr. Damon, that's why he's here, 283-2525. Let's take a call from a listener. Hi there, this is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn with Dr. Damon.
Hey, good afternoon, Dave and Dr. Damon. This is Bert. What about them fleas, Dr. Damon?
Uh-huh.
It's a potent year for them, is it not?
Pardon me now?
The fleas seem to be very heavy infested this year because all the rains, or is that just not this way, Doctor?
Well, probably maybe area located. Like I said, which I was just stating about mange and things, we had used to see at least 3 to 4 flea cases a day about 4 years ago. And if you use the right products and things and keep your dog clean, they will get rid of fleas. These products that they have out nowadays are extremely good, and the reason why most people have fleas is, number one, they use some sort of inferior product. There are products out there in the marketplace that are good, and also they are not touching the environmental problem. But that's what you got to take care of first, is the area around where the dog lays and everything, because just because you put a flea medicine on it one time or a flea collar on it one time and you're doing nothing for the bedding and things of where he weighs 24 hours a day, you will still run into flea problems.
That's a great suggestion. Another thing too, Dr. Damon, I've been using some contact treatments from our local stores. Don't want to advertise for nobody, but it sure does pop them off there. Then I try to come back here with another systemic to get that going, and boy, it just it seems like I'm fighting, a war here, man.
Well, in farm situations and things, there's generally you're facing with wildlife animals as well as the domestic animals, and that's another area you can't really do anything about the wildlife aspect, but you sure can treat your domestic side, and then you might want to give some holler to the fact around your premise and things of using a premise. But you really, in order to use a premise spray and things, you really have to treat about once a month.
Hey, Bert, thanks.
It just seems to be very potent. I remember this year being about like 2000 or 1995. I remember that year was very bad for fleas for some reason. I won't tie you guys up, but I do appreciate your advice about eradicating their bedding, man. I'll just cook their little blankets that they lay on out on the deck and out on the porch, and then start from slab one, man.
Yes.
Good to talk to you, Bert. Thanks very much. Thanks. Take another call. It's 283-2525. Ask the veterinarian. Caller, thanks for waiting. Go right ahead. It's your turn with Dr. Damon. You're on the air.
Hi. Good afternoon, Dr. Damien.
Good afternoon.
I like that. Can I ask two questions?
Sure. Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. One is sort of a training problem. I put a doggy door into my back door where I have a electrical fence, dog watch. And I have three dogs, and the oldest and the youngest will go out that door with no problem. But the middle one is he's a puggle, and I cannot get him to go out that door. We've been trying for 3 or 4 months now.
What methods are you using?
He just gets to the door, and it has the flaps, and they kind of click on the bottom. And, I try to encourage him to go out, I'll hold him up, and he just will not go out. I've tried food. I just don't know what else to try, The other two run right out there.
Have you tried opening the door where the doggy door is, meaning opening the big door, and letting go through that area consistently for, say, a week or 2 weeks? And what you want to do is put a trail of food from the side that he's on to go through the door, out through the door and outward more so, and let him eat his way out through that section. And you do that for about 2 weeks. Then you close the door halfway and run the trail of food up to the doggy door, and then put a trail on the other side of the doggy floor, and open the doggy door up and don't allow him to touch it. But he's got to go through it. So, in other words, first you get him used to going through the opening. Next, you go through the opening with the doggy door open, and he's to go through that and eat his way across to the other side. And you keep doing that for another 2 weeks. Then you try to kind of close it gently, in other words, halfway or so, so that you can see the food on the other side, and you let him go and eat his way over. But you got to make him good and hungry, too. You can't be feeding him, you know, to the point where he's full always. This particular guy, you're going to have to feed less to make him hungry so he can objectively try to eat, and he expects rewards after he gets over there to the other side.
That's interesting. I never thought about that. To like tie
the but it's gonna tie up a lot of time. He's and he may have some sort of fear or phobia of that smaller opening, whereas the other ones they have no problem. They go through it. So
he's scared of noises. Yeah. I've found that since he's been a puppy, but he's like two now. And when those flaps go in and out, there's like a metal thing on there, and they like click together, and he hears that noise.
Well, you should be able to deaden them somehow by either putting some tape on them or something to cushion them so that they don't touch and things, and then you don't have a sound barrier that's that he fears, and then try that and see if he will go through it.
Okay.
But you got to work at it. It's not going to come easy. May take you three to 6 months to get him to go through that door.
Yeah. And then the other problem is if you put the doggy treats out like that, then it's hard to stop the other dogs from eating them.
That's true.
Well, you got to take put the dogs up, just like classrooms. Yeah. You know, you have to put the other dogs up so you don't get interference. Mm. And spend a half an hour working with him each day with the other dogs put up away so that you can work with him. Otherwise, if they gobble up the food and things, and you can't do it with all that distraction. You got to be concentrated on him and him alone.
Okay, that's a good answer. And one more question.
Sure.
I think there's a possibility. I've been having trouble with my allergies, so I think a possibility that I may be allergic to my dogs. What can I do? Is bathing them something that would help?
It's the dander that you're allergic to, and you would have to bathe them, say, weekly.
Okay.
Try to keep the dander down. But you shouldn't be bathing them. You should let somebody else bathe them, too, because if you have an allergy and you're bathing your dog, you're going to get the dermis in the soaps and things on your skin and your hands, and so consequently, you're getting it absorbed through the skin as well as breathing it, and maybe there's somebody else in the household that could do the bathing for you.
So it's the dander from pets that people are. I didn't realize dogs had dander.
Yeah, they.
Yeah, well. I'm very close to my dogs. We do everything together. They're on the furniture with me. They go to bed with me. So
you're bombarded. And, you're bombarded with dander on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
All right. All right. There's some tips for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Is dog dander visible? Can you see it?
Or? Well, you can see it if you pet your dog in the sunlight rays that come through the window, and you can see your house. I mean, you don't know that your house has dust in it until you see those rays, and that's what you need, is those rays coming through in a kind of a dark area, and the dust that's in their household, you can put your dog right there and pet him, and you can actually see it coming off of the dog.
Huh. I had a friend, she's still a friend, but some years ago, who was severely allergic to cats. Is it the same thing? Would it be dander from cats, too?
There's only one dog that doesn't really potentially have dander, and that's the Bichon, Bichet. They tend to be dogs that are allergy free that people can have, and the people recommend them if you are allergic to your dog.
Well, I can remember this woman, as I said, who was a friend of mine, and she would tell us that if she went into a house where somebody had cats, I mean, within 10 minutes,
yep,
she was there sneezing and just going berserk.
Yep.
You know?
And some of my clients always comment that when they come in, they start to sniffle. That's one of the signs, is sniffling. And the other thing is they start to scratch a little bit.
Wow. We'll take a break. More conversation with veterinarian Dr. Dennis Damon coming up here on the It's Your Turn program in just a moment. Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home and Cremation Services. They're local, and they have an entirely new idea. Twice the service at half the cost. You can call them for more information about pre-arrangements, about pre-funding, or about transfer of arrangements made previously with another funeral home. Spencer D. Geibel, Funeral Home and Cremation Services. Spencer D. Geibel is a hometown man, and he offers hometown service at hometown prices. A lot more for a lot less. More options, better service, less cost. Spencer D. Geibel, Funeral Home and Cremation Services, located at 140 Newcastle Road. That's right along Newcastle Road. It's just down the hill from the state police barracks here in Butler. It's the Butler area's newest funeral home, the first and only value-designed funeral home built specifically for that purpose. It's an entirely new idea. Call for more information. Phone number is 724-287-4042. Again, the Spencer D. Geibel Funeral Home, not affiliated with any other funeral home. We'll be right back.
Does your small business need to work more effectively and efficiently? Then you need Sir Speedy Printing. If you're in business, they can print your letterhead, order forms, business cards, posters, and even do your bulk mailing, which includes printing your direct mail piece. They are the local experts. They know the sizing requirements, formats, and guidelines, and can probably do a bulk mailing for less than you can. The next time you need to do a direct mailing, consider stopping at Sir Speedy Printing for a free, no-obligation quote. Their bulk mailing service can save you time and money while helping grow your customer base. Stop by Sir Speedy Printing, 229 South Main Street, Butler.
It's Ask the Veterinarian on the It's Your Turn program today. If you're just joining us, welcome. Dave Malarkey is my name. Our guest is local veterinarian Dr. Dennis Damon from Suburban Animal Clinic. And if you have any questions about your pet, your dog, your cat, your bird, I know Dr. Damon has lots of people with pet birds that he takes care of and treats. You can give us a call at 283-2525. That's our number, 283-2525, to ask the veterinarian. You do still treat birds, don't you?
Yeah.
Is that considered an exotic pet? No, a lot of people have parakeets and stuff, right?
Yes, still. We don't see a lot, but there is occasionally parakeet, and some of the little guys need nail trims, and they do get coughing and sniffling, and they get themselves into a little bit of trouble. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they can break a leg inside the cage, and they can develop diarrheas due to some parasites. So,
get them checked out, huh?
Yes, they should be.
I saw a feature on TV a couple of months ago about dogs that have seizures. And I didn't realize that dogs could have seizures. Mm-hmm. So I made a note to ask you about it the next time I saw you. Certain breeds, this is more prevalent?
No. There are some dogs that you can kind of have your suspicions, but one out of three dogs, every three dogs, is seizure-bound somewhere in its lifetime.
Now, that would really throw a scare into pet owners if they weren't aware of this, because, you know, they wouldn't know what was happening.
Well, true, although a seizure in pets is that they kind of drop over on their side and they chomp at the mouth and they kind of paddle with their legs, and they are somewhat unconscious. In may last anywhere from 30 seconds to sometimes 3-4 minutes.
Does veterinary science know what causes this? I mean, is it akin to epilepsy in humans, or is it something totally different?
It could be epilepsy. It could be brain tumors. We see at least on a monthly basis suspicions of animals that have some sort of brain lesion. And all seizure is there's something that goes wrong in the mechanism of the brain, the nerve pathways.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, animals get hit by cars, animals get hit by baseballs, sometimes bicycles. Yeah, you know, they're just prone to it, just like human beings. They jump off of buildings, and the sudden impact and things may not cause an initial seizure at the time that the event occurred, but it could occur within a month or two after the event has happened. And sudden blows to the head, sudden blows to the body can cause seizures.
Obviously, if there are brain lesions, that's a different story. But otherwise, dogs get up and they're okay again later? I mean, you don't need any medicine or anything like that?
You do. We generally, if he on the first seizure, we won't medicate unless it's something that's more violent. In other words, something that lasts for 3-4 minutes, and it was more of a violent type of seizure. If it's just what we call a Pettit seizure, where 30 seconds to a minute, and the dog got up, and another minute he was fine and up and walking around,
mm-hmm.
then we will tell the owners to make a notation of that event and the date and what he did, and then watch for the next one to occur. Now, we're not around our dogs 24 hours a day, as we are with ourselves and other human beings that can communicate to us, and they may be, you know, may have gone to the store or something like that, and they'll mention that I didn't feel very good or I got dizzy.
Mm-hmm.
So between human to human, we have a better history than we do between human and animal, because they could have a seizure when you're at work and nobody's home and the dog is in the house. But what you do is he generally has certain areas that he lays in, and in those areas, when you come home, you say, you know, gee, that pillow was on the floor, or several pillows were on the floor, and he, Rex, always lays there in that particular area. I wonder if he had a seizure, and there's some suspicion of that, because he could have had a seizure and threw the pillows on the floor, or maybe in his bedding area and things it was disturbed and things, or even people that put their dogs in dog boxes in the house, and they come home and the newspaper or the towels inside are disturbed. And they've never been disturbed before. And that's an indication, even though you didn't see it, that he may have had a seizure. So you're just on the alert with that dog, whether he's going to have a second one or not.
That video that I saw on TV, it was that dog running around, and suddenly it just froze, fell over. And then 10, 15 seconds later, they got up and they were jumping around again. But I'd never seen that before.
Yeah.
Not all that uncommon, huh?
Not all that uncommon. We probably diagnose seizures about twice a week in dogs.
283-2525 if you have questions or concerns about your pet. 283-2525. Pet health, obviously. Symptoms that you've noticed, or pet behavior, pet nutrition. I wanted to talk a little bit about spaying and neutering. Everyone realizes the importance of eliminating unwanted animals, by spaying and neutering. But are there health benefits aside from stopping unwanted reproduction? Are there other health benefits to spaying and neutering?
There is. In the female line, if you spay before a year of age, you can lessen the amount of mammary tumors that the dog is going to have later in life, females-wise.
Yeah.
The incidence drops, doesn't totally exempt them, but the incidence of mammary gland tumors does drop considerably. In the male line, prostatitis, prostate infections, certain diseases of the urinary tract can be avoided with some exceptions, because there are some breeds that have certain types of problems with the urinary system and the bladder, that if you neuter them, they don't have those problems after it's neutered. So theoretically, yes, there are some benefits.
What's your recommended age for spaying or neutering, or does it differ from spaying as opposed to neutering?
Well, neutering males, anything older than 6 months can be neutered efficiently, where their hormones do not interfere with the neutering. In other words, a male dog 6 months of age will have developed male characteristics by 6 months that affect his growth rate and problems with his skeletal structure, neuromuscular structure, and things that if you leave them intact, they may have an increased incidence of bone problems, joint problems, things like that. And my suggestion for females is you can really have them spayed from 3 months on, although I don't particularly like to do any spays until about 6 months, because that's when maturity happens. And we thusly would go ahead and try to neuter them at 6 months and older.
So the hormones from the sex glands would be distributed already, and you wouldn't have to worry about that affecting your future development.
But if you neuter them at 2, 3, 4, and 5 weeks of age, which is being done by the Humane Societies, and they're, I guess I would say objectively from their standpoint, they're getting them neutered so that they're there. Let's get them neutered before they get out, because they in about 50% of the cases, animals that get out without neutering are not neutered. And so consequently, it behooves them to get all animals neutered before they're placed in homes.
Lesser of two evils in that case.
And since these developmental problems and growth problems and things are kind of there, they don't occur in a lot of animals, but the consequences of overpopulation is greater than the worry of these diseases.
We're talking with Dr. Dennis Damon, veterinarian from Suburban Animal Clinic. We'll take a break. I want to talk about senior pets when we come back. Older pets and specific concerns and guidelines for them. You're listening to It's Your Turn on WISR. Stick around. We'll be back right after these words.
Concordia Visiting Nurses is a Medicare-certified home health agency offering services provided by healthcare professionals like registered and licensed practical nurses, physical, speech, and occupational therapists, home health aides, and many more. We also provide specialty services like palliative care and telehealth monitoring. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
Everyone's trying to beat the heat, so why bring it into your kitchen? There's no need to slave over a hot stove when you can go to Michael's Restaurant. They're cooking burgers, hoagies, pizzas, soups, and salads to feed the entire family. So relax, stay cool, and take the family to Michael's Restaurant, Route 422 in Butler.
It's the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR, and it's Ask the Veterinarian. We're talking with veterinarian Dr. Dennis Damon. One thing I want to get to before we talk about senior pets, because I don't want to run out of time before we talk about this. I've seen it in the news, concern about pets getting into ponds where there's stagnant water. Apparently, with the weather that we've been having, wet and hot, there's a lot of algae bloom in ponds. And Dr. Damon, from what I understand, that can be disastrous for pets.
Yes, it can be disastrous to the point of loss of life, because there was Lady Johnson's, President Johnson's wife has a lake somewhere, and three dogs went swimming in that lake, in that big, enormous lake. And I think it's Lady Bird Lake. I think it's named after her. And 24 hours, all dogs were dead.
Wow.
And what it is, at least they found out, was this algae that is growing. And the lake is really stagnant, meaning that there's no motors on it, nobody paddles the canoes and things. So it's kind of just there. And even here, we've had people swimming their dogs in ponds and things, and they come back with either gastritis, of severe gastritis, to the point of bloody hemorrhagic diarrheas, and none have died so far that I have my knowledge of. Even in the Pittsburgh area, knowing some of this that's going on. So, but you have to be ultra careful, because and dogs swim, and they swim with their mouths open, and they take water in. And if algae or bacteria is in the area of that pond and things, then it can change.
And a lot of dogs like to jump in ponds.
Absolutely. They want to cool themselves and things.
Well, I first read about this actually just a couple of weeks ago, because there's a portion of Lake Erie that is getting a huge algae bloom. And they had it last year, too, because we had similar conditions with a lot of rain and heat. Now, Lake Erie's not stagnant. You know, there's water going through there all the time, and yet they have a problem, so you can imagine.
It's the tributaries back in off of Lake Erie that the water is laying in, not so much. It's not in Lake Erie per se, the big lake, but where all the cottages and things and all the inlets are
flowing in.
There's not a lot of movement of that water.
Well, we have farm ponds. There are a lot of private property areas with ponds. A lot of golf courses have several ponds. Now, I've seen in some golf courses where I have these
Aerators,
out the middle of the pond, and it's throwing the water up and keeping it moving and so on. That would help to avoid this algae bloom.
Absolutely.
Can you see algae bloom if you're looking at a pond and realize it might be dangerous?
Well, it's generally green in our local vicinity.
Okay.
It's more red towards the sea, meaning the oceans and things. And it's an algae that's specific for water that just kind of remains sort of quiet.
Wow.
So, I mean, and the sun has to be beaming down, and the water is somewhat clear, but it's definitely yellow to greenish. So you want to kind of keep your dogs out of that area. And I'm not so sure I would say even that the lake wouldn't be contaminated with it, or pond, simply because of the of the fact that if it's on one end, it surely is going to be on the other end, mm-hmm. even though that the end that has a little bit more activity is there.
Well, I knew about algae, but until I saw this story, I didn't realize how dangerous it was for dogs.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing to mess with. Have you, in your practice, seen any of this?
I've only had one case, and that was a dog that was brought to me that the owner had said that he had just had the dog swimming 3 days ago, and now he has this bloody diarrhea and vomiting, and profuse vomiting too. So there's no way of making the diagnosis unless you go to the pond where he was at and swimming and have it analyzed by the agriculture department and things to see if it's there. But suspicions are within 3 days, him developing a gastritis to it, it's logical.
So the danger really is in ponds, still water, stagnant water. I was out at Marine State Park a couple of Sundays ago picnicking, and there were lots of dogs, mm-hmm. frolicking, not lots mm-hmm. of them, but I saw four or five having a good time jumping in Lake Arthur and back out again. That's a different story.
Right.
There's no stagnant water there. Talking with Dr. Dennis Damon from Suburban Animal Clinic, Ask the Veterinarian here today. If you have any questions or comments, you can feel free to join our conversation at 283-2525, 283-2525. One of our sponsors on the program today is Butler Motor Tours. They have a lot of vacation ideas as we move into the latter part of summer and into the fall and even the holiday season. For example, they've still got trips coming up out to Lancaster, PA, the eastern part of the state, to the Millennium Sight and Sound Theater, where they have been presenting biblical epics for many, many years. You may have seen the TV commercials for the one that's playing this year, Jesus. It's pretty amazing. They've got 2-day trips out there, a couple of those still left this year, one in September and another one in early October. Also, if you're talking about the holidays, about a trip to Asheville, North Carolina, to the Biltmore Estate, shortly before Thanksgiving. They'll be all decorated for the holidays down there. Or maybe a Christmas show in the Great Smoky Mountains, Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. That's a trip in early December. Or Bethlehem, PA, to see the famous Radio City Rockettes. Or Ogle Bay Park, the Festival of Lights down there. Or Nashville, Country Christmas at the Opryland Hotel. These trips and many more. Details online at their website, butlerbus.com. Butlerbus.com. That's Butler Motor Tours. They're on South Monroe Street in Butler, online at butlerbus.com.
In 2019, Tri-Rivers celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
I'm Dr. Scott Rainey, an orthopedic back and neck surgeon at Tri-Rivers. Whether I'm in the office treating patients for conditions such as cervical or lumbar stenosis, or in the operating room performing innovative procedures like disc replacements, I'm proud to care for patients in the Butler community. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Welcome back. It is Ask the Veterinarian today. Our phone number is 283-2525 if you have questions or comments or would like to join our conversation with Dr. Dennis Damon. Let's go to the phones. Hi there, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn with Dr. Damon. You're on the air.
Could I talk to you off air for a sec?
Not right now. I have no capability of doing that. You can talk
to me. Okay. I'll call back another time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Not quite sure what that was all about, but who knows. I want to talk about senior pets, special concerns with the senior pets. You mentioned earlier, Dr. Damon, that pets in the majority of cases now are considered part of the family. And with people getting better medical care and regular visits to the veterinarian for their pets, they're living longer these days than they used to. But that can lead to some special concerns when we have older pets, right?
Generally speaking, because pets don't necessarily tell you what's wrong. If you ever noticed, your pets are probably stronger in department of handling pain than what you are, because they can be hit by a car and have a fracture and manage to get home and running and mm-hmm. things, and yet they have a fractured leg. And if a person got hit by a car and had a fractured arm or a fractured leg, they don't fare out so well with pain. They are absolutely in a lot of pain. And so really, as animals get older, they are probably able to cover up diseases and problems that they have by living with these pain thresholds that they have. And it's like a dog that can hardly walk. If you ever x-rayed a dog with hip dysplasia, and if you had that type of hip dysplasia, they would probably be replacing your hip in very mild instances. And these dogs live with chronic hip dysplasia and can get by.
What's hip dysplasia?
Hip dysplasia is really arthritis of the hip.
Okay.
They German Shepherds are kind of a high incident breed that can have hip dysplasia proneness. It can occur in Labradors. Some of the giant breed dogs, it occurs in like Great Danes. And one common breed or breeds that I can name offhand that never are born without some sort of hip dysplasia is bulldogs and Frenchies, French bulldogs. If you ever x-ray their hips when they're, say, about 6 months of age and compare them to a normal hip of a normal dog, you'll wonder how they walk because the hips are most of the time out of their sockets or very, very shallow in a socket itself. And yet they're capable of running and jumping and doing everything.
Hmm.
So the pain threshold is what we kind of deal with. And people sometimes keep their animals at home and they see a vet maybe every once in a while when they get sick. But hardly ever. And we're starting to change this rule because we're practicing better medicine. So we want to see these dogs on a year-to-year basis. We're vaccinating less. So we're seeing some diseases that used to occur with some vaccines that we got better developed vaccines that can go for longer periods of time without having any issues. And so the dog has a less tendency to come to the veterinarian unless he's ill or sick. But they should be checked out every year, even though that they do not have anything wrong with them, because the adage that you kind of have heard all your life, a dog year is 7 years to a human.
Yeah.
And so that means that in the first 7 years, when he's 1 year of age, he's equivalent to a human being at 7 years of age. So when he's 12, he's equivalent to an 84-year-old person.
Good idea to get a regular checkup.
And if he never sees a veterinarian still around till around 10 or 11, and he comes in for a toenail trim or whatever, by then he's living with certain problems. And I've seen this happen, liver disease, kidney disease. And it's just underlying and sitting there, and they're living with it and things until they are stressed enough. That and a stress could be anything from
the family going on vacation, and he goes into a kennel, and he's an older dog. And he comes home, and the kennel person said, you know, he really didn't eat very much, and he really wasn't himself, but when he went into the kennel, he was doing fine. Now, it isn't the kennel's fault. It's just the stress of that particular event. He went in, and he was already existing with something, and now he's in kidney failure or liver failure or certain other diseases that can be mimicked by animals, and especially cats mimic kidney disease very highly. I think as cats approach 9 or 10, one out of every three cats is going to have kidney failure going on in their body.
Wow.
Because they're a desert animal, begin with. And if you ever have a cat in the household, very seldom do you ever see it drink. But people will put water out in bowls and things, but cats don't really drink from bowls. They drink from running water. And most of the clients say that he always jumps up into the sink, and he, as it drips, he will be drinking water. And I always advocate that if you have a cat, you try to get two fountains going in your house, the sold by Lowe's department store, and they just have running water.
You don't need a big $150 fountain. A cheap one will do, huh?
A $15 to $20 one, and it runs water, and you have to clean them about once a month because saliva has bacteria in it, and it will get gunk up in the little filter area, and you have to clean that, but it runs consistently. And the cats drink from that, and they can hydrate themselves better with running water than they can with just laid out stationary bowls.
Would this help older cats to avoid some of these kidney problems that are so prevalent?
Can. They've done some testing at some of these universities of putting cats when they're in a colony and they're there for studying and things, and they'll put them on cats on bowl water. And there's about a lot of, not experiments, but things that are being tested for in some of these colony cats of these facilities that study nutrition in animals. They study kidney aversion problems, liver. And all these studies, they have other studies going on, and what they found was that running water lessens the kidney aspect by about 30% in cats.
Now, it's different for dogs, right? And dogs will readily drink water out of a bowl.
Right, right. And they aren't as finicky as what cats are. So that's something that I always try to advocate to my cat clients is to make sure they have enough running water that it's cycled, and replenish it about every 2-3 days, and you want to clean it once a month.
Is there any concern that if your senior cat starts spending more time in the litter box, is that indicative of a problem?
It could be. It could be that he's got an inflammation of the bladder going on or the urethra, and also he could be forming little crystals within the urine itself, and those crystals lead to sandy particles, which lead to little stones. And he can develop what we call a block cat syndrome, where these crystals and things keep piling up into the bladder and then plug up the urethra. Mm. And you have to go in and unplug his urethra. And then female cats, they do the same thing. And they can have an infection. Infections can cause cats to drink a lot of water and urinate frequently. And any time you have a change in the habits of cats and things, you have the potential of something going on in that animal itself.
Do we need to be concerned about changing the diet for our senior pets, our dogs and our cats, as they grow old?
You should go to a senior diet. They don't need as much protein, so the protein should be cut down. And you want to kind of don't look for the cheapest foods out there, simply because the cheapest foods can get you in trouble just as well. But you want to go with a well-tolerated, whatever you want to ask questions at when you go to your veterinarian, what is a good diet. There are good diets out in the marketplace, but there's overpriced marketing place food, and there's underpriced. And what you want to do is go into the middle part of that and get a good quality food. And a reputable person, meaning a manufacturer behind it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll find you've never heard of the manufacturer, but yet his food is could be priced high or it could be priced low. And if you've not heard of it, the manufacturer, then you want to kind of stay away from small manufactured foods, because you want to stay with these like Hill's and Purina and Royal Canin, and just to mention some right off the hand. They're doing an excellent job in studying and trying to provide a good source of protein and things, and they don't outsource their proteins to the foreign countries. They try to keep it all within the United States. Mm-hmm. So there are reasons why you should purchase with reputable dealers.
One final break. We'll be back to wrap up our program after these words.
Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, the only executive-level fitness center in Butler, providing a clean, unintimidating environment with modern equipment and a full-time staff to assist you. A proud partner of the Silver Sneakers and Prime Networks, Applewood offers classes like Silver Sneakers, Pyo, and high-intensity interval training. Open daily, the fitness center has flexible membership options and discounts for students, military, and paid EMS employees. See more at applewoodchiro.com. Must have valid student or military ID or proof of EMS employment for discount.
Welcome back, good friends. Very informative, as usual, Dr. Damon, when you visit with us. Nice to have you here again today. Dr. Dennis Damon from Suburban Animal Clinic, our guest, and we'll talk to you again in October.
Very good. See you then.
I don't want to think about October right now.
That's nearing the dandruff that falls from the sky.
That's right. That's just a way to talk about it, too. Don't mention the word. Thanks, Doctor. Good to see you today. Dr. Dennis Damon practices at Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, 5 miles south of Butler. Just another quick note, a program note for you. We have Book Talk coming up on Monday of this week. We do it on the fourth Monday of every month. And South Butler Community Library in Saxonburg has chosen a nonfiction book to discuss on Monday, Midnight in Chernobyl, the untold story of the world's greatest nuclear disaster. And this was back in the Soviet Union quite a few years ago now. Still a very, very contaminated area. So we'll talk about that. I've just started reading the book myself, and it's a fascinating, and of course it's all true, a fascinating story. We'll talk about it on Monday. Book Talk with the South Butler Community Library. So that wraps up our program for today. Thanks for being with us, and I hope you can join us tomorrow at 12:30 for the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
your words have all been said. Your mind's made up to go. You're standing by the bed like someone I don't know. Your love has died, and there is nothing you can do. Though you try, yes, you try, you can't live with a lie. So say you stay until tomorrow. I can't face tonight alone. Though I know it's over and we're through, say you will stay until tomorrow. I've known for some time now that things just ain't been right. Because when we try to talk, we both get so uptight. But now you